Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, Text 32. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tamatma jai chisidhi antaratmana turantabhava parire bare patim naruramapyasrabad ambunetayor ilaj pravajatinam briguvaya vavar. Translation, the insuperable ecstasy was so strong that the queens who were shy first embraced the Lord in the innermost recesses of their hearts. They then embraced him visually, and then they sent their sons to embrace him, which is equal to personal embracing. For the chief among the bhrigus, though they tried to restrain their feelings, they inadvertently shed tears. Purport. Although due to feminine shyness, there were many hindrances to embracing the dear husband, Lord Sri Krishna, the queens performed that act by still the act remained unfinished. One indirectly embraces the husband by sending the son to embrace him, because the son is developed as part of the mother's body. The embrace of the son is not exactly the embrace of the husband and wife from the sexual point of view, but the embrace is satisfaction from the affectionate point of view. The embrace of the eyes is more effective in conjugal relations. Thus, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, there is nothing wrong in such an exchange of feeling between husband and wife. Om Jnanatimarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksurunmulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Tapitam yena bhutale shayam rupa kadamayam dadati prapadantikam agadana sinam dante idam yache puna puna shima rupa padam bhoja yulisham janma janmani Varagya bhakti rasham priyatnai apayama manabit samandam kripam buhiya paraduka duki sanatanastam prabhamatriyami pancha kopa turubhyascha kripa sindhu bhaye vrcha patitanam bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadada Sri Vasude Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo, Hare Ramo, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from Vrindavan. I think in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, of winds, of months, I am the winter, of course. That doesn't refer to the winter in the Northeast. It refers to the winter here, which is quite I met one devotee when I was walking on the street, describing it's just perfect, actually. Right now, the weather is perfect. I'm sorry, someone's chanting somewhere. Not distracting, but I'm just trying to figure it out. Can you just wait 1 second? I just want to see what's going on. Just hold the wire, hold the phone. Okay, I'm back. It just takes me a minute to get set up here. It's it seems like it's some kind of speaker in the background, someone chanting, but so we're kind of progressing along here on a very wonderful theme that we've been studying for actually the last few months. And that's the personal aspect of the absolute truth, that the absolute truth, the Supreme Lord, is responsive. He's responsive to his energies and exchanges with his energies who offer him service and love. And that's actually the existential position of the ultimate reality, which we're blinded to by an illusion caused by a desire against that absolute reality. Because we somehow want to be the center. I don't know if I shared this with you, but the program here is very, very nice for me, and I take lunch at exactly at noon, and I go to my friend's farm, Prem Kishore, and he has the closest thing to Sarabi cows that I've ever seen. It's lush, it's green, every flower in Vrindavan, grass for the cows to graze, beautiful trees, and all you look around are just acres of other properties, acres of rose gardens, everything offered to the deity. And you get a glimpse of the original Vrindavan. Sometimes Vrindavan's turned in externally to kind of a suburbia, but you get a glimpse of the original Vrindavan. And I sit there and I chant for some time. And he showed me a video where Srila Maharaj, Prabhupada's godbrother, was in a humble way sharing for the purpose of instruction an experience he had, which from my perspective and knowledge was the descent of Baba, which is a spiritual, an advanced spiritual experience, when one's desire to serve the Lord becomes so single-minded, single purpose, that the Lord's own divine energy descends on one's consciousness and energizes one's consciousness with pure love of Godhead. Of course, this is an exalted soul who may be always on that platform, but anyway, he's describing this. And in describing it, he describes a descent of divine knowledge or divine consciousness that, submerges, he becomes submerged in this divine consciousness and feels captured by it, and then describes the change of perspective from seeing the world as an object to being the object of the perception of that divine consciousness. Now, if we actually see individually right now how we perceive the world, we generally have an egocentric view. We, if we're in a room of people, we view ourselves in the center. And subtly, we have a relationship with everyone. Maybe consciously we can overcome it, but our general material nature is to relate to everyone egocentrically. For our purposes, for our goals, etc. Therefore, we see people as objects. And he described that sometimes he had experience of knowledge, but it was always external to himself. He was seeing it as an object of his perception. He said this was different. He became captured by this consciousness, and then he became the object. Of the desire of that divine consciousness. So what we're having here is a very unique thing. We're getting a description of that ultimate reality and how God is exchanging with his devotees. By his sweet will, God wants to, this is God's pleasure. This is the ultimate reality. Supreme Lord and his energies and their exchange. When Vyasadeva was to write the Bhagavatam, after he was chastised by Narada Muni for not having sufficiently glorified Krishna, apashyat purusham purnam, he saw the Supreme Lord, maya chitat apasyam, and the Supreme Lord and his energies under his control, which didn't mean just the external energy, it meant also the internal energy. And that meant he saw this exchange of love, the shaktis, the potencies of God, consciously trying to please God, and God reciprocating by trying to satisfy those who love him. So this exchange has been going on, and if we just can recall some of the devotees we met, and we'll see that they have this divine consciousness. They look at themselves as an object of God's desires. And they put God in the center. And they're very, very satisfied in that position out of love. And we can just reflect Kunti. We were with Kunti. Bhishmadev, we were with Bhishmadev. Yudhisthira. We were with Yudhisthira. The queens of the residents, the ladies of Hastinapur, the queens of Dwarka. We saw this exchange of love, where the Supreme Lord subjugates himself to the will and desire of the devotees. He wants to serve his devotees. Which is why serving the devotees is such a powerful spiritual process. To really feel I'm servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Such a wonderful consciousness. Because there's no selfishness in the heart. One's not even hankering. Real love means that your satisfaction is the satisfaction of the object of your love, not that you particularly are the cause. But desiring that the Supreme Lord, the object of your love, is satisfied, you do whatever it takes. But the consciousness is without that desire to put oneself in the front, unless that gives the Lord more pleasure, just like Radharani and Chandravali. That's her competitor. So why are they competing? It's not ordinary competing. Radharani is competing with Chandravali because Radharani thinks I can give Krishna more pleasure. And if she thought that Chandravali can give more pleasure, then she would serve Chandravali. We're just reading today in the CC this kind of consciousness in the spiritual world coming out in so many ways. The consciousness that we're aspiring for, and therefore we should appreciate, is that appreciation. And Prabhupada said, begins with appreciation. That appreciation for pure consciousness is a desire to have that consciousness for ourselves. And that desire for perfection leads us to pursue it. And that desire for perfection is imbuing our own heart with that perfected state of love. As you see in the CC, we're reading that state with King Prataparudra, who couldn't see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he was a king, Vishayi. To rule the kingdom, he had to demonstrate the accoutrements of power and enjoyment to inspire in the populace, which is generally materialistic, a sense of reverence and cooperation so he can rule the kingdom. And Lord Chaitanya, playing the role of the strict sannyasi, therefore didn't even want to associate with him. To the extent that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in kirtan, in the Rathiatra, and coming to the highest states of devotion by embracing fully the consciousness, mood, the attitude of Srimati Radharani, and he faints, and everyone else faints, but King Prataparudra is watching this and seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the floor, unconscious, comes over and kneels down on his one knee, puts his hands softly under the head of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and tries to raise him to the sitting position. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees this, he cries out, I am condemned by the association of a wretched materialist. And King Prataparudra is quite devastated by this. But by divine arrangement, because of Purva Seva, can't emphasize this enough, Purva Seva, because of previous service, bore the fruit of service, which is a response of love from the object of service in the natural dynamics, either material or spiritual psychology of personhood. That they're responsive in love, and that's natural. So, King Prataparudra, Purva Seva, by previous service, such a significant point. Service invokes mercy. We advance by service, which just doesn't mean the activity, but the attitude of service. Like Narada Muni, he says he was he couldn't get Saksha Darshan again because he wasn't complete in service. Just didn't mean he didn't act enough. He hadn't cultivated the pure consciousness yet of service, and therefore he had to leave the Himalayas and travel and preach. So, so powerful. The previous service, and King Pataparudra, he was that previous service. He was able to perform intimate service for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and massage his feet. Of course, he was so afraid to do it because he got chastised previously for even embracing Lord Chaitanya when he thought that he was in an infirm condition. Now, he, on the permission of the Vaishnavas, the advice of the Vaishnavas, you can understand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood. But then, Lord Chaitanya, after he, then King Pataparudra, so, you know, he's massaging his feet and he's chanting the Gopi Gita. Tavakatam ritam tapta jivanam abhibe'i ditam kaumasapaham shravanamangalam. I forgot that. Anyway, the Gopi Gita they're describing the welfare work, the greatest welfare work is giving this nectar of Krishna consciousness to enliven the soul. The soul is thirsty. It's thirsty for a sentiment of love because the soul by constitution is meant for devotion. And therefore, the kava katamitam, the nectar of katha, the nectar of glorifying Krishna, which is imbued with love and devotion, is the greatest welfare that one could do for another. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so enlivened. But the point is, finally, after embracing him, he says, who are you? Who are you? And he says, Dasa, Dasa, Anudasa. I am the servant of the servant of the servant. And my only ambition is to become the servant of your servant. So that's spiritual consciousness. Spiritual consciousness is selfless, detached, selfless love. That's spiritual consciousness. And in that consciousness, one only wants to serve. He has no fruitive intention. He has no desire to promote his position or level of enjoyment or control within this world. That's the spiritual world. And to enter into the spiritual world, and again, as Sridhar Maharaj described it, he described the spiritual world when he was experiencing this divine consciousness as the land of gurus. Why? Because everyone sees, a person who enters the spiritual world sees everything else as venerable. Everything else, he sees himself as the object of everyone else's desires and service. That's spiritual consciousness. So in that type of consciousness, because there's no Dira, Dira, Janapriyo, Priyakaro, Nimatsuro, they're worshipful because they're not envious of anyone. The whole premise of the Bhagavatam is that it's a book that does not offer material promotion, and therefore it's not for people who want that. Dharma Projita, Kaitavo, Tra, Paramo, Nimatsura, Nam Sita. The Bhagavatam is for the devotees. And what is the singular quality of the devotee? He's not envious. Nirmatsara. He has no hate or envy. because he's not competing with anyone. He only wants to serve, and he only wants Krishna to be pleased. And the Matsuranam Sitam, if a devotee has the Bhagavatam, is for devotees, because it's not about fruit of endeavor and competition in the world and getting ahead materially. It's about pure love and devotion. And therefore, even if we're reading, it was so beautiful with King Pratapurjana, because of that previous service, Krishna reciprocates so sweetly that he shows King Pratapurjana his Aishwarya, his divine opulence. And all the devotees see the mercy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is bestowing upon King Pratapurjana. And anandita mane, their minds are full of bliss. They have no envy. They have no envy. This is the root of material existence. Icha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata. We're born into this world due to desire and envy, desire and hate. Therefore, the Vaishnav Sangha and the Vaishnav society, the real Vaishnav society, to the degree we can come to that, is every person is feeling himself the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas. And he's very happy when someone else is an object of mercy. Anyway, I remember so many wonderful things he said, but Prabhupada's godbrother also said that the greatest hypocrisy in the world is that when you see someone else getting some mercy, either materially or spiritually, and understanding it's coming from God, person gets some wonderful devotion or some wonderful spiritual opportunity, or family life works and my family is all screwed up, or that person has so much money by God's hand, I don't. That person has the... And if you think, the greatest hypocrisy, if you think, like, why, how does that person deserve it? But at the same time, in your mind, you're constantly praying for Krishna's mercy, which means you want something that's undeserved. But when you see it in another, and you say, no, he hasn't earned it. Why is he getting that? So this spiritual consciousness we're seeing here in the 10th canto, and the core of it is for others. Vaishnavism means for others. So we're seeing how people are so surrendered, and they have so much love and devotion. Anyway, we've been following this consciousness of devotees and the beauty of Krishna, both physically and in heart, that so much attracts the living entities to his service. And now we've seen Krishna come in Dwarka, and he's moving towards his home. And we see the sentiments of the mothers are giving him so much affection. He puts his head on their feet, offers his obeisances to them, and he's embraced, entering his father's house by all the mothers present. Because mother is not just a bodily connection. Mother is a consciousness of unalloyed affection to maintain and nurture others in a selfless spirit. So many people in the spiritual world have that consciousness. and they embracing Krishna, put him on their lap, and then the affection wells up and milk springs from their breast, because this is part of the psychology of love that's manifested in an indirect or perverted way here and is manifest fully in the spiritual world, that when the devotion wells up in the heart, it's expressed through different bodily actions that are emotional components of that love and increase that love. And Satchinandana Swami very practically was giving this course. Somehow or other, we have to get this, we can put this online. Both his and Bori John's lecture, give access or something. So wonderful. And teaching about paying obeisances. When you put your head on the floor, so nice. The head goes down, the heart goes up. Material consciousness is what? The head goes up and the heart goes down. The head goes up. When you pay obeisances, not dandavat, you put your head on the floor. And that puts you in a particular mood, and then you offer your obeisances. And it really inspired me to increase my prayers. And whenever you say prayers, to be conscious. You can meditate on the object of your prayers before you. You can put your hands on the feet of the Guru as you're offering obeisances within your mind. And when you offer the prayer, you should be thinking of the words. This is Krishna consciousness, the body, the mind, and the words. When you do that, it creates a bhav. It creates a devotional sentiment that nourishes the heart. In the morning, just sharing with you practically when I'm worshiping my deities, after his powerful lecture, I can't do it in a perfunctory way anymore. I chant the prayers. When I chant the prayers, I meditate. These prayers I'm chanting, Adadanas Chanandantir, which store in my feet, I'm envisioning Srila Rupa Goswami Samadhi. Adadanas Chanandantir, Yidam Yache Puna. Again and again, but begging, Srimad Rupa Padambo Jadulu, to the lotus feet, the dust of the lotus feet, to give me the dust of your lotus feet. Then, chanting the prayers to Tulsi, which is expressing our desire for residence in Vrindavan. Just see how wonderful that Prabhupada gave us these prayers. And thinking of the meanings. Radha Krishna Seva Pavo E Abhi Lat. I desire the service of Radha and Krishna. Ye Tomara Saranloi Taravanshapunahoi. Please, Kripakori Karo Taravan. I'm seeking your shelter. Please make me a resident of Vrindavan. More A Abhilas, Vilas Kunje Diovas. I desire more Abhilas, Vilas Kunje to reside in the forest of Vrindavan. Why? Nayane He Vibo Sada Yugala. And through my eyes, my two eyes, I can see you. I want to follow the maidservants of Vrindavan. But thinking of the meaning, Seva Adipa, then I can become qualified for serving. Dina Krishna Date Kor, this poor servant, Ayena Morahoy, is calling from the heart. Dina Krishna Date Ayena Morahoy, Srirad Hago Vinda Preme, so let me swim in the ocean of love of God and Guru. Or, chanting prayers to Lord Nityananda. Nittai Pada Kamala Koti Kanda Susitala. If you've ever been to Eight Chakradham, you can meditate on Nityananda's abode. Nittai Pada Kamala Koti Kanda. The feet of Lord Nityananda are soothing like millions of moons. Yay, Chayai, Zagatadura. Yay, Chayai, Zagatadura. Enonitai, Dinevai. Radha Krishna, Paitenai. Without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you can attain Radha and Krishna. Vidakori Dhara Nitai. I thereby hold tightly onto his feet. Vidakori Dhara Nitai Pai. And then singing, when you're doing arti to the deities, the names of Krishna. This is the activity of the spiritual world. And this is what it means to follow the resonance of Vrindavan. Of course, their singing the names of Krishna is a result of their devotion, and ours is the aspiration to their devotion. Therefore, their love, their chanting, is raghatmika bhakti. It's the attachment is in their soul. Ours is raghanuga bhakti. We are following the activities of the perfected souls that we are aspiring to become like. Therefore, they're chanting the names of Krishna, and we should chant the names of Krishna. So powerful to elevate the consciousness when you sing, Yatso mati nandana braja bara nagara gokula randana ka. So beautiful, these songs. So, so they offer, out of that devotion, the mothers, they offer their milk from their breasts are flowing involuntarily as an expression of agitation in a particular type of devotion. And then finally we've come to the queens who are in meditation. Why? Because out of love they're always thinking of their beloved. And when this is pure love on the spiritual platform, there's always thoughts of one's beloved. And there's always love of one's beloved. And love is the essence of the pleasure potency. So one is always swimming in praying. And that ocean of praying is increasing with so many different sentiments. So when Prabhupada describes this, I think I'll read a little bit from one of the purports, and you'll really see Prabhupada's connection to these sentiments, where he actually explains to us the highest form of love. The queens of Lord Krishna are all in meditation, thinking of the Lord's absence, and always meditating upon him. So this is the practice. To think of Krishna and never forget him. This is how we advance in bhakti. We turn our consciousness to God in acts of adoration. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Apno Nivedanam. Different ways we turn our consciousness to Krishna. And by turning our consciousness to Krishna, our natural relationship for Krishna, which is our attraction or our love for Krishna, begins to awaken in our hearts. The Lord's devotees cannot live for a moment without meditating on the Lord, and what to speak of the queens, who are all goddesses of fortune incarnated as queens in the pastimes of Dwarka. They can never be separated from the Lord either by presence or by trance. So they're never separated. Either they're with the Lord or in separation, they're in trance. And in trance, they're meditating on the Lord. And the Supreme Lord is there in either way, because the Supreme Lord is not material. And therefore, the presence of the Supreme Lord is not designated to one particular point. Therefore, the basic point of understanding the Supreme Lord, according to Rupa Goswami, is to understand that the Supreme Lord has inconceivable potency. Parejati, padnayajati, tadvure, tarantike, tarantarasya sarvasya, tarisavasya bhayata. He walks and he doesn't walk. He's near and he's far. He's inside and he's outside. Not material. And therefore, when one is in love with Krishna, he's always with Krishna. The gopis at Vrindavan cannot forget the Lord when the Lord was away in the forest cowherding. When the Lord, boy, Krishna was absent from the village, the gopis at home used to worry about him, traversing the rough ground with his soft lotus feet. There's so much love that they only wanted Krishna's pleasure and comfort, to the extent that they were afraid to put Krishna's feet on their hard breasts. That shows you what their love was. Their love was about Krishna, not about themselves. And this is liberation. Liberation is becoming selfless. And selfless means detached. Because selfless means you're just concerned with God's service and the service of others. And therefore, whatever circumstance one is put in is an opportunity for that service. By thinking thus, they were overwhelmed, entranced, and mortified in the heart. Such is the condition of the pure associates of the Lord. They are always entranced. And so the queens also were entranced during the absence of the Lord. So they were sitting in trance. Trance means no external consciousness, just internal. Forgetting the world. People who are advanced in spiritual life, they try to forget the world. They try to forget the world, especially if it as an object of control and personal enjoyment. But really, they try to. We had that nice example, that nice Sadhu Ramesh Baba living on that hill in Mankutir. And I remember when we went to see him one year, not see him, but he called us up. Very pure Sadhu. Immediately he came in the room, he was eating. Someone just brought us in there, some ambitious person. Just, you want, no, see, no problem, come, come. We go into his room. And the first thing he says, is there any service? He didn't say, how dare you disturb my meal. First thing, what does he think? He thinks, what do they need? That's a sadhu. What is their desire? Very nice to be with such a soul. And then somehow in the conversation with us, he really told us how he just tries to forget the world. Doesn't even remember people's names. Of course, the service he would, but that's not his service. He doesn't. He's just very nice. And then I remember, somehow this person speaks very wonderful British English. He must have come from a very high family, although he's in his 70s and he's been there since he's 19. And I remember one of my friends thought, this is such a nice sadhu. Let me go up there and chant and for a while. And then he met him and he got real curious because he heard that this sadhu, he's forgetting the world. Of course, we our platform is Yukti Vairagya. We give up what we can't use in God's service. And on the conditioned platform, part of our service is to become peaceful and satisfied our desires in religious ways. So we have to review that as another platform. I just remember when we asked, I probably said this, those you heard the Sangha. My friend asked me, he said, Babaji, when was the last news that you remember? And he said, Marilyn Monroe died. Anyway, what an answer, I thought it. But since then, he hasn't heard anything. So nice, this purport. Presently, having seen the Lord from a distance, they once gave up all engagements, including the vows of women as described above. So there were certain restrictions and social customs, and that was blown away by the sense of attachment and devotion. According to Vishwanath Chakrabarti, there was a regular psychological reaction on the occasion. People see their husbands. They were deterred because of they overcame that stage of weakness and became caught up with the idea of embracing the Lord, and this thought actually made them unconscious of the surrounding environment. So that's prema. That's samadhi. Not cognizant, just focus. The classic example is Bhishma Dev, that person who fought in so many battles, that person on so many subjects, just fixed his eyes on Krishna, nothing else. This prime state of ecstasy annihilated all of the formalities and social conventions, and they escaped all stumbling blocks on the path of meeting the Lord, and that is the perfect stage of meeting the Lord. And then in this verse, the ecstasy was so strong that they wasn't appropriate socially in that cultural milieu to run out and embrace their Lord, their husband, their dear husband, their eternal husband, their perfect husband. But they're so strong that they embrace the Lord in the inner core of their heart, then visually, and then they sent their sons, which is equal to embracing them. Purpa Prabhupada said the embrace of the son is not exactly the embrace of the husband and wife from the external, but the embrace is the satisfaction from the affectionate point of view. It's such a key point in understanding Krishna's pastime. What's being appreciated is an exchange of affection and love, not any external stimulation, but it's the love that's appreciated. And the love being appreciated, the happiness of the beloved. So embraces and physical acts, they can be there, but if they're not there, that's not what gives the pleasure. What gives the pleasure is the love. And the happiness one feels for the happiness of one's beloved. So, later it's going to strive. All their magical feats and attractions, they could not agitate the senses of the Lord, because it's not on that platform. And therefore, the embrace of the eyes is more effective in the conjugal relation. And thus, according to Jiva, there is nothing wrong in such an exchange. So the embrace of the eyes is more effective, meaning that it's the devotion and happiness in the heart that is the pleasure, and not anything external to that. And if there is something external, It's giving pleasure because it is connected to the devotion and the sentiments of the heart. Anyway, we're going on, and this is, we've progressed now to this. This is the kind of the culmination. And we'll see this very, very intimate and loving exchanges, selfless, spontaneous, and then boom, then that part of the first canto is finished. Well, actually, and then it goes to something else, which is the birth of Maharaj Prickett and the retirement of the Pandavas, setting the stage for the descent of Krishna in the form of the Bhagavatam. But now, in this first canto, we are getting introduced to something very, very wonderful, the personality of Godhead, his beauty in terms of his reciprocation with his devotees, and the level of devotion that inspires within their hearts. And they're seeing these selfless exchanges. Let me stop here. Are there any questions?
Hi, Krishna.
Hi, Bo.
Yeah, this is Gail. I have a couple of questions if we have time. One question concerns King Pratapuruja. Yeah, I'm referring to the part of the legal affair Lord Chaitanya rejected the king's attempts to, like, take care of him when Lord Chaitanya had fainted. And I understand that as a pure devotee, you know, even when the Lord would reject the king like that, you know, the king's love, yeah, the pure devotee, you know, his love is causeless and it's, you know, it's unconditional. And so he would continue to love Lord Chaitanya, no matter how Lord Chaitanya cheated him. But I don't understand how, even though, you know, on the one hand it's instructive, Leela, but on the other hand, how did Lord Chaitanya have it in his heart to hurt his pure devotee like that? You know, because the king was devastated. And so how does, you know, our loving Lord, you know, how is he able to bring himself to do that to his pure devotee?
Yeah. Well, all's well that ends well. All's well that ends well. He gets the highest benediction. He gets to perceive the Lord in more intimate and revelatory ways than even the other associates. But Lord Chaitanya also has responsibilities, social responsibilities, as the role that he's taken. Yajar acharite shreshtas, tat tat ebe toro jana. Whatever the common men do, whatever the great men do, the common men follow. So there's a certain standard that he has to maintain as the as a sannyasi. And so he has to play that role. And in terms of King Pratapuruja, anyway, he's a king, and he understands that. It's not a question of cruel. It's just like there may be a guru, and he may have lady disciples, and you know, he can embrace the man, he can't embrace the lady. You know, it's not that he's cruel. Or if the lady embraced the sannyasi guru, the sannyasi guru may be upset with her, you know, and may, you know, say something. But, you know, we have the example also of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was viewing the Garuda from the Garuda Stambha, he was viewing Lord Jagannath, and then all of a sudden this lady jumped up on his shoulders because she wanted a view. And when that happened, you know, Govinda said, "Get down! You're, you know, you can't do that. You're a sannyasi." But then Lord Chaitanya said, "No. I you know, she's a, look at her devotion. I wish I had such devotion." So he saw actually and recognized also her devotion also spontaneously. So that's also there. I remember Satchinandana Swami, he was in front of the deities, and the way they have it in Vrindavan, as he called it, the Dandavalas, the people with the big poles are in the front, and this little girl came and said, "Can you get out of the way? I want to see the deity." And then the guard came, he was going to say, "How can they?" And Satchinandana said, no, and then spontaneously he remembered that pastime. So it's a fine line between maintaining the social responsibilities and the social etiquette and acknowledging and reciprocating with a person's devotion. And somehow you have to do both. And Lord Chaitanya did do both. And whatever the case, you know, you may say it's harsh, but sometimes there's tests. Tests are always there to really gauge. I'm going to go in my book. You remember I said I took notes. No, do I have it in there? Let me see about tests with Bodhi Channel. So tests are always there to, well, it's probably in the back of this post, 1 second. Not in the back of this one. Maybe it's in the back of this one. Yeah, here it is. Tests are there. So even if you may make me brokenhearted by your embrace, tests are there. They really challenge you. What are you in this for? Are you in this for you? Are you in this for love? Or what, you know, there's always tests. And tests enable you to put a mirror before your heart and see what your level of purity is. So there's so many things that are going on the pastime. Even if he sends them away in a harsh way, it's a test. What is my faith? What is my faith? Is this a cruel person, or is this God? Will this benedict me? You know, and faith means that if it's true faith, and the object of your faith is worthy, then it'll be reconciled, and it was reconciled in the most wonderful way, with the guidance of the devotees. So we judge something by the result. Whatever test that one has, you can't say that person is disadvantaged. Even I gave the example that Sevapriya had that friend that became my disciple, Krishnamayi. What a life at 26 years old. Dying of cancer, young child, had such a hard life. I remember my friend, Ghanasham, he was in Nigeria at the time, but he's in India, and I was staying at his house, very advanced soul, sent me a message, his realization that sometimes I think that when Krishna loves someone, he gives all his karma in one life to get rid of it. So you can never, you know, it's a test. You know, and with Lord Chaitanya, the test is not necessarily in his conscious mind. he you know, when there's pastime, the Supreme Lord subjects himself to his own Leela Shakti. And his pastime, his Leela Shakti, inspires and arranges the events to not only give the lessons out of mercy to people that are watching it, but to culminate the Leela in the highest ecstasy. So that was the fate, and King Pratapuruja, Lord Chaitanya wasn't cruel. Let's just say from a social standpoint, no, he wasn't cruel. And I think the example would be there, a sannyasi and some lady at a spontaneous devotion hugs him. He may have to be stiff, stop. What is this? That's my answer now.
Yeah, that was nice. Maharaj?
Yes, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, this is Rasika. Yeah. Could I just add something to that?
Yes, please, Rasika.
I was just thinking the thing that I love about that whole pastime is that, first of all, Maharaj Pratapurudra knows the social etiquette. In those days, people knew that, so it's a little more acceptable. But then at the same time, these pastimes happen to show the great humility of a devotee.
Very nice point, yes.
And, how sometimes when the Lord refuses to, like that verse, whether you leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. Yeah, that's a beautiful verse. And so Maharaj Pratapurudra is such a great devotee because of just having, in his heart, somewhere in his heart, he knew that. That if he just, remains enthusiastic and determined, it will be there.
Thank you, yes.
Thank you. That was a wonderful class.
You said that the pastime was to also show his humility, Mother Vasukya? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Like he's not going to get upset because Lord Chaitanya didn't want to see him. He takes that like special mercy. Like the pure devotee takes those things like special mercy. For us, it's a little hard, but that's our goal.
How did we see that the king took that as mercy? How did we see that he took it as mercy?
Because he didn't stop wanting to see him.
Yeah, that shows his humility, that he didn't want to stop.
You have to be humble in order to continue with something that you're not getting.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of getting mad or being puffed up, how come he doesn't want to see me? I'm the king.
Yeah, that shows his humility. I'm not sure how that shows that he took that as Lord Chaitanya's mercy.
Humility. Taking something as Krishna's mercy requires humility. Mercy and humility are related.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rasika. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Gail, you have one more question?
Oh, do we have time for it?
Well, we want to show you special mercy today.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. When you were talking about...
Would that be mercy if I said no more questions, Gail?
Yes, that would also be your mercy. I just have to figure out how later.
What?
Yes, that would also be your mercy, even though I don't understand it at the moment.
No, you would just say, wow, I'm just so undeserving. I've asked one question. That's more than enough. But anyway, yes, ask your second question.
Toward the end of the class when you were saying that, the essential thing in the exchanges between Krishna and his devotees is the affection, not so much the external way in which that affection is expressed. And at the same time, it seemed like, I don't know if I should say a bit of a contradiction to say that I guess the appropriate way to show the affection in a conjugal relationship is with the eyes, you know, the looks, not the look. And the embrace is not about the that's another question, you know, why wouldn't it be more the embrace for a conjugal relationship instead of the eyes?
Not one is more than the other. What's important is the expression of love. And the reason why the spiritually, even though here it says, oh, the queen's beautiful smiles and furtive glances were all spotless and exciting, and oh, that they could conquer Cupid himself by making him give up his bow in frustration. Oh, even the tolerant Shiva could fall victim to him. Still, despite all magical feats and attraction, they cannot agitate the senses of the Lord. In other words, they didn't capture the Lord by anything else but their mood of service and love.
Mm-hmm.
Their mood of service and love, which is expressed in that relationship in that way. And that expression of conjugal love is just the intensity is greater than any other relationship. But it's not an intensity of sex life. It's an intensity of
love
and
affection. Yeah.
So here what it says, why wasn't he asked? That's not what pleases him. If that's what pleases him, then he could have been agitated by that. But what pleases him, the expression of love. But in the conjugal relationship, it's the most intense. Because it's a reflection of the perfect conjugal relationship, where that form of love, of the furtive glances and the embraces and the sidelong glances, is the most intense. But what's most intense is not mundane passion, you know, but what's most intense is the offering of heart and love, like the gopis who gave up everything. Gail, it's getting a little late, but thank you all your questions and bringing out different meanings. Would anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
I recognize the sweet voice of Stella from, am I right?
Yes, and thank you for a wonderful class. I especially liked that when we have tests and you said it holds up a mirror to your own motivations. And that I'm going to hope I can impress that on my heart and carry it around with me forevermore.
I think what Rasa Gyal said is true in that same situation. You know, if he was crushing it by the embrace or there,
right.
You know, then the mirror is up. You know, well, I'm finished with this relationship. Well, I thought, you know, where's the surrender of love?
Right.
You know, at the test, it says, let me see if I can see what I got notes. From Boy John, if I can find, he talks so much about texts. What is a test? A test is to see the genuineness,
yes.
To check for the presence of other substances. So when he gave the example, you know, when you test gold and you test it, you see if there's any impurities. So when Krishna gives us tests, It enables to see the genuineness of our devotion. Is it mixed with anything else? Because if the devotion is genuine, then nothing changes. You know,
right. More interest he has in testing you, that to me is full of hope that he is still trying to test you because he wants you so much. He keeps testing you, hoping. Maybe this time.
Yeah, no.
More tense, the better.
That's a very good point. Yeah, it's. And he said there's two types of testing also. He said the first test is to push us, you know, to surrender. And then the second test is for those who are surrendered to become pure and deepen their surrender. And it says here, why does Krishna not appear even to pure devotees? And this is what Rasa Gyas said, Bhojan's point, to deepen their humility. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Wow.
Henry.
Very nice, very nice. On Tuesday, I'm going to Tirthagunga with Jamuna and Dina Tarni. I'm going to go there. We're going to chant japa mostly and kirtan, a little katha. So that's really nice. And Henry, by the way, your friend's daughters, you know?
Yes.
It was really wonderful. They had such a full experience here. So I told them about your place, and they, Sanford's daughter really, really wants to see your house now. Okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Amira, Hare Krishna. Thank you again for coming on and joining us. Thank you. Hare Bol. Anybody else? Okay, thank you all for coming on today. And so many people are on. I know a few people would say hello, but that gives me a sense that we there. Thank you. Vanchakalpa Pudya Sakrapa Sindhavya Vachapati Tanam Pavanidra.